Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. Well, Technomic is a company that follows trends and I shouldn't even say follow in a way, sees trends as they're developing or will develop. And I'm really happy to have Kelly Weichel with us today, the Director of Consumer Insights. Kelly, when we talk about food trends, would you explain to me what it is that Technomic does in identifying trends? And who do you identify those trends for?
Sure. So we are a research and consulting firm based in Chicago, and we really specialize in food service. So we look at it from all angles. We look at industry, we look at menu, we look at consumer, and we have over 50 years of experience doing just that. So the way that we think about trends is really understanding both what's happening and what has happened in the past to really inform how those trends are going to track and how they're going to look moving into the future.
Well, good. Now, in that then, to do it, you're surveying people. So are you doing telephone interviews or focus groups or all of the above?
All of the above. So inside the consumer research practice, I head up our syndicated consumer research, and we are always surveying consumers. We have a platform called Consumer Restaurant Brand Metrics, which is ongoing, and we're continuously in field. And then we also have our consumer trend reports, which cover key food service categories, and those are monthly. So we're always surveying consumers through quantitative methods. We also do a lot of qualitative, and with that, we do focus groups, we do one-on-one interviews, we do videos with both consumers and operators to help inform some of those trends that we're getting from the quantitative side.
So right now, what top line, what do you think are some of the most impressive, if you were just going to name three or four things that are just top of the list that are trends that just pop out right now, what would they be?
So one of my favorite trends that we're seeing right now is something that I call flavor desensitization. And basically what we're seeing with today's consumers is that the industry has gotten very, very good at meeting consumer demands for flavor. So today's consumers increasingly want bold, wow, robust, spicy flavors. And the industry is getting much more quick at responding to that and creating all these new innovative things. So it's taking more and more to really wow the consumer. So what we're seeing is an accelerated pace of innovation in terms of flavor to create those really interesting, unique, and dynamic flavor profiles that really gravitate consumers and really appeal to consumers.
Well, that's kind of an interesting one because it seems I've seen that. I mean, you've seen it being promoted by restaurants. But at the same time, a lot of times it's cheese and jalapenos and potato chips and hot dogs on hamburgers and everything. And I don't know how that matches up with the fact that we're supposedly going towards wanting to eat healthier foods. And then you've got this kind of really knocking out, 10,000 calories or something in some of these sandwiches.
So I think you're getting to something that is a mashup trend, so kind of combining all of these different foods and flavors in a new and interesting way. And that appeals to consumers because they're very adventurous. They want to try new things. They want to learn about new places and cultures through the food they eat. But at the same time, consumers are increasingly interested in health. But what we're seeing is that, especially when they're at restaurants, okay, because consumers really balance out health in their mind, so they're going to splurge for some occasions and they're going to eat more healthfully for other occasions. And the ones they're splurging for are special occasions. And for many consumers, any eating away from home occasion is going to be a type of special occasion in some way. So what we're really seeing is that when they're in the restaurant environment, the need to eat healthfully isn't the most important. The most important is what looks craveable, what looks fun, interesting, unique, that really is, a tempting option on the menu. And they want to try something new and fun. And so that's why they're kind of gravitating towards some of those. Now, that doesn't mean that it's an everyday occasion. It's probably something, especially with some of these more, unique and kind of crazy things that some brands are coming up with these days. It's going to be a kind of one-and-done situation, but it doesn't mean they don't want to try it when they see it.
It reminds me of the food truck trends because in some of the areas of the country, these food trucks are just crazy. I mean, I went to one called Off the Grid in San Francisco, and there must have been 30, 40 food trucks on Friday night at Fort Mason. And there they're combining Korean food and, Korean tacos and all sorts of strange. Is that the mashup sort of thing you're talking about?
It relates to the mashup. It relates to flavor and uniqueness and adventurous dining. It also relates to something that we're calling eatertainment, which means that, you know, today's consumers, they're not just eating for fuel. They're not just eating for food and for the meal itself. They're really looking for an interesting experience. And the food truck provides that because it is so different. It's not going to a restaurant, sitting down, someone coming to take your order. It's the whole experience of, you know, having this unique mobile food service outlet that comes to you, and it's only there a certain time. So scarcity comes into effect, exclusivity comes into effect, and it really provides this out of the ordinary experience that they find very, very appealing.
So how do you get back to putting this all back together again with people that are also concerned with sustainability and sometimes with the diet? So if you're going out, a bunch of people are going to a restaurant, and then there's somebody that's really careful what they're eating, and they want, you know, broccoli and salmon, but does a restaurant need to be sure that they've got that on the menu plus this other adventurous type of food?
Yeah, so I think the product mix and the ability for consumers to customize come into play there. So today's consumers are very individualistic, and they all want to be able to really pick and choose exactly what they want, have it tailored to their specific needs, whether that mean their taste preferences, the preferences with regard to health, ethnic cuisine, how adventurous they want to be with their food. So I think it starts with, you know, a certain brand is going to be known for their concept positioning. So that might be a healthy brand, that might be a fun brand. But at the same time, you know, everyone knows that consumers do often dine out in groups, and you want to minimize the veto vote. So minimize the number of people saying, well, I can't go to that restaurant because there's nothing there for me. Customization allows them to, one, meet everyone's very specific needs, and also minimize that veto vote, because maybe they are, you know, a salad company, but they have, you know, a sandwich on the menu, or they can customize something for someone who might be gluten-free. So that can really get around a lot of those elements without necessarily needing to really increase the number of items on the menu or the number of back of house items.
So I think the other thing that makes me think of is that the tendency, or I don't know if it's a tendency, but it seems like a trend of identifying what farm the foods come from, and that putting more and more descriptions on the table. And that's actually gotten a little notoriety with a story out of the Tampa Bay Times that was saying that they checked on a number of restaurants that were claiming certain farms were supplying them, and that didn't prove true. I wonder if you comment on that, what's happening, and people trying to identify with a farm source.
Sure, there's a lot of elements that go into that. I think one of the biggest ones is today's definition of health and interest in transparency. So consumers are gravitating towards clean, unprocessed, natural food, and if it comes from a farm, it must be that, right? So they have that element, and they also really like that personal connection, knowing where it comes from, knowing that they're giving back to a specific individual if they've identified the farmer, or the community if it's in the community. And also really hitting on that idea of it being very particular to them, and really speaking on attributes that really resonate very strongly with them. So at the end of the day, they want that story. They're gravitating to that story, and, you know, really thinking about that story as a way to identify with the brand.
Some of the chains are now talking about getting production systems identified of how, for example, I think the high-profile one has been on eggs and cage-free eggs, and many national chains are saying there's a certain point in time that they're going to get themselves entirely to that. Is it part of the same package that you're referring to?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about transparency, there are a number of things that go into that. Health is one, social responsibility, and sustainability also. And something like cage-free eggs would hit on both of the latter two, because, you know, if you have a consumer that's really concerned about animal welfare, yeah, they're going to want to know where the eggs came from, and they're going to probably be willing to pay a little bit more for that. Does that mean that that is, you know, one of the key need states that they're trying to make when they decide where they're going to dine out? Maybe not. It depends on the consumer. But even if it is, they're still going to need all of those other elements that go along with it. You know, they're still going to have the experience and the taste that they're going to expect.
Do you test some of those claims? I think they're referring them to now as like something without or without, I'm losing the phrase here, that antibiotic free and GMO, non-GMO and non-BPA and so forth. Do you test whether those are real issues to consumers versus just perceived issues?
So it's interesting that you kind of phrase it that way. So they're real issues because consumers think that they're important because they don't understand them, especially with GMOs. It's something that, as a whole, consumers really don't have any factual knowledge of what it is or how it impacts the food or how that food is going to impact them. But it makes them nervous, and they don't understand it, so they're going to try to avoid it. And again, it doesn't mean that it's the most important element, but it, yeah, may be something that they think about. And if you have a brand that has a no-no list where they're not doing GMOs, they're not doing antibiotics, they're not doing steroids, and that's important to them, or if it's something that makes them really, really nervous, then they might go to another brand instead.
Well, it's an interesting time, and I'm sure you're staying very busy trying to keep in front of it. But what you find in restaurant trends, do you see those, do they follow in the supermarket? Are they closely aligned, what's going on in restaurants with what's happening at supermarkets?
They do closely align, and I think they align a lot more closely than they used to. So traditionally, flavor and food trends, for instance, have started in kind of the independent restaurant space and then kind of moved down to, you know, casual dining and then to QSR, maybe at C-store, and at the same time kind of building into the retail space. But because the pace of innovation has become so accelerated, it's really happening very, very quickly now. So flavor and food trends is something that typically starts in the restaurant space. The food labeling actually tends to start more in the retail space because that's where labeling is more, you know, it's more out front and center. You can see it on the packaging there. And you don't have, obviously, as much space on a menu to know all of those things and to label all of those elements as you would on a food package.
But one of the things that's a little confusing is you hear different percentages is how much do people eat out and versus eat at home. And I think it gets into whether or not it's a percentage of their income versus a percentage of occasions. But what does a consumer look like today? What's the average person? Is there such a thing as an average person of what the range of how often they're preparing food at home versus going to different types of restaurant formats?
So actually, this year was the first year that the percent of spend away from home went over that of grocery and retail. But when you look at consumers, the proportion of meals that they have away from home really differs drastically by generation. So for instance, we see that millennials have the highest restaurant usage, so they use restaurants more often. Something like Gen X is pretty close to them. They tend to rely on food service a lot to meet the needs of a busy family, so they tend to have children. Then with boomers, you see it decrease again, and it's also lower with Gen Z, the youngest generation. However, that's probably a function of the fact that they don't have a lot of discretionary income yet. And we tend to find that something like food service usage is cyclical, and it builds over time based on how one was raised. So because millennials use food service so often, what we will expect is that as Gen Z earns more disposable income, they will also have a very high rate of usage too.
Well, I really want to thank you for sharing these observations on what's happening and then the trends. It's exciting. Now, you primarily are working with the industry, a lot of people in the restaurant industry and so forth. But do you have a consumer face that if people wanted to understand more about your trends or reports, is there any spot that somebody could get some general information that's available from Technomic?
We have a lot of complimentary information on our website. We do a lot of videos looking at more forward-thinking consumer trends, a lot of press releases on all of our studies. So there's definitely a lot available out there if you go to our website, technomic.com, and want to take a look.
Well, Kelly, one more question then. What's your favorite place to go eat? Or what's your favorite food? I won't make you pick the restaurant.
I can pick a restaurant. It's actually, I won't name the one, but it's. I live in Evanston, Illinois. I like independent restaurants, as many younger consumers do. But I like to go to it because it has a really nice variety of elevated food and also has a nice craft beer menu. So that's another trend that I kind of follow. It also has a really nice atmosphere. So, just very laid back, but great hospitality, great service. And for me, it's just the complete package of the food service experience that I'm looking for.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, I'm looking for that experience myself. So I really want to thank you. And Kelly Weichel, it's been really nice to have you here. And she's with Technomic. So thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining the Farm to Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.